Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Call Waiting. It's me, your friend Robin Shaw, and today's episode is crushes. Now, I put online, call in with your celebrity crush, call in with your real crush. I don't even care. If you're crushing or if you've ever crushed, the lines are open. Now, I'm going to tell you about my celebrity crush, but first, I have some really, really big, exciting, huge news. I was asked to be part of the New York Comedy Festival this fall, November 5th, and I'm going to be performing at Town Hall. Now, if you're not in New York, you may be like, okay. So let me tell you how huge and exciting this is. It is a huge theater. It's actually 1,500 seat theater. Biggest I've ever done, as far as like my own show. I've performed at Grand Ole Opry, which was 4,000, but that was like an 8-minute set. You know, like this is my first time doing my show. So tickets are now on sale. You could go to my website, robinshaw.com. It's actually on pre-sale right now, so you have to use the code NYCF so that you could buy tickets. Otherwise, it's open to the general public on the 17th. But if you want to get tickets now, just go to my website. And again, the promo code is NYCF. Otherwise, you'll have to wait till the 17th. And I'm just so excited. And this is the biggest thing that's you know, going on as far as like stand-up that's happened to me. And I'm really excited and I want to share the night with you. So I hope you guys all come. And when I found out, you know, when I got the email and, you know, they were asking and blah, 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 blah. Like a rush of emotions. Just remember, I started stand up in 2011. Like, I've been doing this a long time, and a lot of the gigs have been hell. Like, there's been some real freaking doozies. Like, a lot of you have discovered me since going viral, and I've been doing all these great shows. But, like, no. Majority of my career was like in real shitholes. So, I thought we'd start off before we got into all the celebrity crushes or regular crushes. I thought I would share with you guys my biggest. I mean, because there's so many hell gigs. Security.
Yeah.
Now, you have been with me from the start of my comedy career.
Not technically.
Okay, not the first show, the second show. Okay. But, so you've come with me on the road to a lot of these shitholes.
Yes.
Okay. I do you know which story I put at number one?
I wonder if it's the same as me.
Which one?
$1 million.
Yeah. Okay. That's exactly. Yep. What I was gonna, although there's a second one that I'm going to share that involves you.
I think I know which one.
The horses. Okay. All right. So let me tell you my worst gig ever. I got asked to perform. I was hired as like privately from this woman. She saw me perform somewhere, and she hired me because her mom. They were throwing a surprise party for her mom at her parent, dad and stepmom's home, okay? The dad was an oil owner, okay? And on Long Island, he owned about a $15 million mansion. And the surprise party was taking place in their home. And this stepdaughter got me as a gift to her mom, okay? So the surprise party happens. She sneaks me through the back door. I go into the dining hall where there's about 60 people eating in their dining room, and I throw my bag down on a table. All of a sudden, everyone goes, no! I didn't know what I did wrong. Then they explained the table I threw my stuff down on was not a table. It was a $1 million piece of artwork. I didn't know this. It almost looked like a urinal. Like there was a table, but like had like a tilt in it, like it dipped a little. So I just threw my stuff on it. I didn't know it was artwork. So then the person whose birthday is it looks at me. She goes, "Who are you?" And then the stepdaughter goes, "She's a comedian. It's your birthday gift." And so then the woman just looks at me with disgust. All 60 people are looking at me with disgust. So then the stepdaughter goes, "Do you want to perform right now?" And I was like, "Right now? We're examining artwork. I can't." She's like, "No, why don't you do that while they fix the artwork and they like get it?" And I'm like, "Okay." So I had like a little boom box with a mic. I said, where do we plug it in? So she plugs it in. Security has his hands over his face because we don't talk about this often because it's so filled with trauma. So then the 60 people look at me and I go, hi, everyone. I'm Robin. I'm a comedian. And so then I go into my set and I'm about 2 minutes in and I get them. Like the 60 people are laughing. So then the woman whose birthday it is jumps right in front of me and she goes, okay, okay, everyone, enough of this chit-chat. Let's go into the living room. This is right in front of me. All at once, the 60 people stand up and everyone just walks right by me as I just stand there in shock. So then the 60 people walk by me. Security comes over to me. At the same time, the stepdaughter, the one who hired me and her husband, comes over. Now she's crying and she goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry. This is so embarrassing. And I said, no, it's okay. Just can I get paid so I could go? She goes, no, you must have felt so embarrassed up there. I said, no, it's fine. Can I go? She's like, this is just so terrible. You're humiliated. I was like, give me my money so I can go. And the husband's like, this is what happens when people put money in front of humans' feelings. And I was like, give me my money. I want to go. We get in the car. And like, usually I'll give security some the money, like, you know, a percentage or whatever. He's like, Robin, this is blood money. I don't want
I
it.
Wouldn't even touch it. I didn't want to touch it.
It was so dirty.
I think I said to you, I'm like, just spend it when you get home. Just get rid of it. You don't want that energy.
I did so much cocaine then. So that was my biggest hell gig.
But we're not going to talk about the other one.
Okay, no, we're going to talk about the other one. Because this isn't the worst gig ever. It just shows what a horrible human security is. So, again, I get hired to perform at this private event. It was in a country club. And they were the fundraiser was to save horses.
Like, correct.
You know, horses that have been racing.
Like they can't race anymore, so they don't, like, do anything. Like,
no. So it's raising money for the horses, right? Which brought in a special type of clientele. This was a very rich and fancy group of people. So I go up there. And now I could count on a number, like, fingers of how many times I bomb. Usually I could look at an audience and get them. This, I'm bombing, right? Now, security is, they offered him a seat at one of the tables up front. So you would think security would at least laugh, like, pity laugh to, like, just help me out. I see him put his hands, like, over his eyes, acting like he doesn't know who I am. And I even see him look to the person next to him and roll his eyes as if to, like, he didn't know me and was making fun of that I was a shitty comic.
Who the heck brought this comic in?
Wait, didn't you win the raffle that night?
Yes, I won the raffle that night.
What an asshole. All right, so we're going to open the lines because today's topic is celebrity crushes, but I thought it'd be fun. Okay, this episode's going to be chaotic. I already know it because this is going to be like seven topics in one. I messaged some of my comic friends and because I wanted to know like what their hell story is. So before we open up the lines to everyone, a few of my comic friends are going to call in and tell me their worst hell stand-up story. And we're going to also find out their celebrity crushes.
Who's your celebrity crush?
Well, I'm going to say after we open up the line.
Gotcha.
I have so many celebrity crushes, but I'm going to tell the one that caused me embarrassment. All right, so the first comic is calling in. You may remember her from last week's episode. It's my friend Regina DeChico, who is the host at The View. She's worked at SNL. She's worked everywhere. And she opens for me a lot on the road, but she's been a comic for longer than I have. And I actually don't know her worst hell stand-up story. I also don't know her celebrity crush. So, security, can you get her on the line?
Okay, we have Regina on the phone.
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Regina, I actually don't know the answer. What is your like biggest hell stand-up moment gig?
Okay, so a while back, this is a long time ago, a group of us got hired to do stand-up at like an art show. And we're like, oh my gosh, like how exciting, like an art exhibition in New York City, like this is so fancy. So we show up and they tell us like they have all the comics meet down in the lobby. And we're like, oh, so you're performing like before the show, like after? And they were like, oh, actually, like this is the situation. people are going to come in and they have to get in this freight elevator and then go up to the third floor. But the elevator has a mind of its own. So sometimes the elevator goes to the basement and opens up to a brick wall. So they literally said they were so afraid.
Wait, couldn't push a button?
It didn't matter. The elevator would do what it wanted. So they didn't want people to freak out. So what they thought would be a good fix was if they had comedians rotating in the elevator so that people wouldn't freak out if the elevator went to the basement brick wall.
Oh, my God.
So what they did was, Robin, in the elevator, they put, like, a tiny little triangle, like, stage in the corner and, like, a little curtain. And we had to like tag in and out. But like, if you think about it, like, it's New York City and it's an elevator. So like, nobody wants to talk to anybody. Nobody wants to make eye contact. And now there's like this psycho on a tiny stage like, hey.
Oh my God.
Where are you from?
So, but was there actually a show anywhere else, or was the whole show in the elevator?
No, the whole show was in the, they hired us stand up in the elevator. And there were a couple of us. So we would like do like 10 minutes and then we could like swap in and out and then somebody else would go, but it's like literally it's like the worst kind of hostage situation.
Wait, also, then imagine, how long are the people in the elevator for? Are they only there for half a joke?
Yeah, but then the elevator would go to the basement. Like, imagine people get in, it's like, oh, but are they trying to do comedy? This is ridiculous. Then it goes to a basement brick wall. I think they're like, oh my God, are we going to get killed? Like, it's just like, it's a lose-lose for like everyone.
How have we been friends for 10 years and this is the first time I've heard this story?
Because I feel like I may have like forgotten about it. And then when I was like, wait, I think you like block it out. Because I think you try to act like your career is going well.
I know. I've blocked so much when it comes to comedy out. Do you remember during the pandemic, they were doing stand up on the subway?
Oh, yes.
You and I drew the line there. We didn't do that.
We did
parking lots and back alleys.
We did parking lots and back alleys and the park. But we're like, the subway. That's crazy.
Guys, during the pandemic, because we couldn't do comedy like indoors, so there was all these different things. And Regina first did a comedy show in a parking lot. Where I did it too, like a couple of weeks later, where you're on a stage, but everyone's in their cars and they hear you through the radio. Now you're like, oh, that's great for the pandemic, but terrible for the comics because you tell a joke and it's silence, except people will flash their lights. They weren't even allowed to honk because of like noise complaints. So you'd be like, ba-dum bump, and then you just see a bunch of flashing lights and silence. You hated it. I loved it.
No, but I remember when I went the first time, it was like, because I get there, and you're little, okay, also you're doing stand-up on the back of a truck. Robin forgot to mention that. There's no stage. So you're standing in the back of a truck.
I blocked out things, too. I have a really good way of just remembering the good things of stories.
And I remember I was like, oh my gosh, I'm outside, I'm like standing up, like I'm saying a joke out loud. It felt so good. And then when it was silence, I felt like I drove to a zoo. Like it was equally just like messing with me mentally. Oh, and then God. I was like, oh, like I was so excited. And then my dreams are crushed.
That's comedy. So excited and dreams are crushed. Yes. So question, today's episode is crushes and celebrity crushes. Do you have a celebrity crush or either now or from when you were younger?
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, wait.
It's always been Keanu Reeves. Yes. Right. I feel like, honestly, I loved it. Like, from Bill and Ted, I love a goofy guy. Like, I was like, oh my God, he's so goofy and silly and, like, kind of cute. But when I saw Speed in the movie,
my God.
I can tell you, me and my cousin, my aunt and uncle took us to Disney World. And we were, like, older, but not old enough to be traveling by ourselves. And we're like, no one knows us here. We got every snack, Robin, every snack. We're like, oh my God, we need Ubers, we need popcorn.
Comedy, but we remember everything we've eaten.
So we literally got every single movie snack. We both made ice cream sundaes with, like, a million toppings. And we, like, sit down, like, we can't wait to watch this movie. He literally comes on screen. Robin, if I tell you when the movie ended, like, we didn't even move. We were so mesmerized by how hot he was.
I know.
The ice cream just had, like, melted all over the floor. Like, all the snacks just like sat there, like ice cream was gone, and we're just like, oh my God. And I remember I got back to school. I remember how like boys would get jealous of like hot boys, and they're like, Speed was so stupid. Like Keanu Reeves is a bad actor. And I remember thinking like he talked in that movie. Like I don't even remember.
I have to tell you, I've when people ask me who my celebrity crush is, I'm never really sure. I'm stealing your answer. I forgot.
Do
like,
it.
I love this man. Do you, you ever see Sweet November, which is like a terrible movie,
course.
But he makes it.
All
he,
of them.
I mean, he's so all the movies are terrible. No, just, I love him. I love Keanu Reeves.
He's a chocolate salesman, Robin. He's a chocolate salesman, and then winds up like in the vineyard. All the plots are insane. They don't even make sense.
Oh my God! I want to do an entire episode about Keanu Reeves, where people just call in and we talk about his movies because his movies are insane. His movies are the weirdest, terrible movies, and I'm obsessed with every single one.
No, I know. I'm like Robin. When you say every people call in, you mean Regina called in.
Okay, Regina, I will do an episode. Okay, one day, guys, don't worry. One day we're going to do an episode. When security can't come 1 week, I'm going to have you come in and we're going to do an entire episode on Keanu Reeves.
All Keanu Reeves. Yes.
And people can call in if they want to talk to us about Keanu Reeves.
Right. Their best worst scene. What do you love so much?
Oh, my God.
So
freaking hilarious. All right, Regina, thanks for calling in. You're the best.
You're the best.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Oh, my God. I forgot my love for Keanu Reeves. Do you love Keanu Reeves?
And he's also such a nice guy.
Yeah, I think he's Canadian.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. He's so cute. Oh, my gosh.
But, like, he gives up his seats in subways.
I've
like,
heard about that.
He's
like,
a really
I've
good
heard
guy.
That he's, like, a good guy. I can't wait till the first time you can't make it.
Oh, for the Keanu Reeves episode?
Yeah. So you've only not made it once. Well, you didn't come for the ex-boyfriend episode.
Correct.
And then you almost didn't make it for jury duty.
Because I was in jury duty.
But you did make it. Okay. Let's get another comic on the phone. This is Megan Hanley. She opens for me a lot on the road. She just actually released her comedy special on YouTube called This Happy. It's so good. Security, get Megan on the line.
Okay, we have Megan on the phone.
Megan, thank you for calling into call waiting.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Right before I got you online, I was saying how you are on the road with me a lot. And so, I didn't even say this. Guys, not only has Megan been opening for me, but one of the tours I did performing for the troops, which was 3 weeks long, Megan was on tour with me. And that's actually when I think we became super close, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, we were like family by the end of that tour.
Oh, my gosh. We even one time, when you're touring, you usually get your own room, either whether you're staying on base or they put you up somewhere. But this one hotel was short a room. So Megan and I shared the room and it ended up being in the lobby and for handicapped people. And so the toilet. I just told the world my worst stand-up gig horror story. What's yours?
Okay, so years ago, I'm supposed to be performing in Pennsylvania, and I'm performing at a winery. And on the way there, I'm going, this is like 2011-ish, I guess. So I'm opening for a woman. She's doing these winery tours in Pennsylvania. And I get down there, and I was driving to a certain point in Pennsylvania, and then she was going to pick me up and drive me further out to the winery to try to cut up the drive. So on the way there, she goes, okay, so just to let you know, she goes, the show sold out, and they sold so many tickets that instead of doing the show at the winery, we're actually going to do the show at the funeral home next door.
No.
Yes! No. Like, what? And first of all, this is the kind of thing, right? Now, I'm in the middle of Pennsylvania, and now my car is somewhere else. This isn't even the kind of thing where I can go, I'm out of here. Like,
oh my God.
Like, there's no exit. So I go, okay. And she goes, no, it'll be great. She goes, the family owns the winery and they also own the funeral home. And, you know, we sold so many tickets that they said that, like, we have all this space at the funeral home. So we'll just do the show there. So, you know, it's like comedians, you hear something that's like kind of crazy, but you also go, this is going to be great. This is so bizarre. Yeah. It'll be great. Yeah, it'll be. And also, we're so used to.
We're used to the weirdest situations. And we're used to be so many times. Megan, how many times now when we're on the road, when we're in a theater versus a comedy club, I'm like, this is so nice. Because as comics, we're used to the worst situations.
I pretty much performed at every venue. And then both of us, you factor in the pandemic when we were like performing on rooftops and parks and like had no sound system.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Like we're always up for anything. So it's one of those things where you go, this is going to be bizarre, but this could also be hilarious and this could be great. And you really don't know until you're in the situation what's going to happen. So we get there, they show us the space, then we go over to the funeral home. You know, it's one of these things that you're trying. I am literally, whenever you perform anywhere, you try to take in sort of the ambiance of where you're performing. So I am picking up grief pamphlets from the wall. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to open with this. I'm going to read some grief pamphlets.
Oh, my God. You read some prayers.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this will be great. You know, and it's like, listen,
Megan, yeah. Did you kill?
Dun-dun-dun. Yeah, murdered. Oh my God. So no, I will say that, like, even though technically, no, I've never performed a gig at a funeral home. I mean, in a sense, I've performed at many funeral homes as I am a people pleaser. So when I show up to a wake, the more uncomfortable I am, it's like, I'm a breath of fresh air in those funeral homes. I mean,
how did the show go?
So we go in. They're gonna bring the ladies in, right? And now I also realize there's yellow school buses parked outside of the funeral home. So I see this happening and I'm like, okay, what's going on here? They go, oh no, like that's something you can do in Pennsylvania. Like if you want to have like, you know, a night out, like you can rent a school bus. This way you don't have to drive. So these women were so drunk. They're arriving on yellow school buses. They start bringing everybody into the funeral home and people are just drinking out of the bottle. Like bottle drinking. So we go to start the show. The woman that's like headlining, she goes, I'm going to go and just do like a quick intro thing. And then I'll bring you up. You'll do like 20, 25 minutes and then it'll be me. So these women are so drunk and they're filed in. But you know, it's a funeral home and they've opened up all the rooms. So all the viewing rooms. So now it's just one long corridor, yeah. Which is really not ideal for comedy. You never want to be like in a long, narrow space.
Right.
People are just sound. They're too far away from you. So they're in this corridor and also the sound system. She goes, I was going to bring my own, but they said they have their own sound system. But it's like, yeah, they had their own sound system for eulogies.
Right. Like, oh my God, did you have to stand at a podium?
No podium, but like it wasn't a loud sound system. Like it's a sound system for people that are room in silence.
Right, for eulogies. Yeah.
Yeah, for eulogies. Not for people coming in when someone's like wasted and yelling and laughing and making jokes.
Oh my God.
So she brings me out and I go to start making my, you know, grief pamphlet jokes and people couldn't hear. Which was the problem. So the people in the very front in the first room, like they were laughing, but the people in the back could not hear. And they were so drunk. So people just started yelling like, we can't hear anything. So I am now trying to like yell back and forth to people, trying to like figure out the situation. I'm moving around throughout my set. I end up moving to like the middle room. We abandon the mic completely. And I'm standing on a folding chair in this funeral home, just yelling out jokes to people and they're yelling back and they're like angry and it's like it's just a mess. So finally I look over, you know, the one running it, and this is before like we even had like iPhones or anything. So I looked at her because I was like, I had no idea how much time I had done, and I was like, what am I at on time? And she goes, I have no idea. And I'm like, okay. So I did like all the material I could think of, and then I brought her on. I get off stage and I had done 45 minutes.
Oh my God.
She does. It's still chaotic. She does about 20 and she wraps it up. And then she ended up sending me a check for more money. She was like, you did incredible in that situation.
You're like, and now six ghosts live with me.
Yeah. It was like the only time is like a funeral home. You see people walking in, drinking out of bottles of wine going like, this better be good.
This better be good.
This is better be good.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that was a really bad one. But bad. A great story. How I see all bad comedy gigs always turn into a great story.
It's very true.
Wait, Megan, true. While I have you, today's episode is celebrity crushes. Do you have a celebrity crush from now or from when you were younger?
So I feel like now lately, just because I've been seeing him pop up in things, James Marsden, such a crush. So cute.
So cute. Wait, did you see Jury Duty?
So cute. I've seen parts of it. I got to go back and finish it.
Yeah, he is.
He's.
So oh my cute. Gosh. He's so hot.
He's so hot. He's so hot. And he's so funny.
Yeah. No, like, he's funny, weird. But he's so hot.
Totally. But my celebrity crush when I was younger, like in my 20s, was like Matt Damon. I was like obsessed with Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah. I could see you liking Matt Damon because of the whole like baseball thing. Like, because he's like Boston,
hunting.
Yeah. And I could see you'd be like, I like Yankees. And he'd be like, I like the Boston Red Sox. And then you'd make out.
Yeah. And I met him a couple times. I had such a huge crush on him. And I think as I got older, he's still very attractive, but I think I've sort of gotten out of it because now I'm like, wait, like he kind of looks like he could be my cousin.
You know what? He does look like he could be your cousin. Guys, like put a blonde wig on Matt and that's Megan. Megan, I was telling people before, but I'll remind them, they can catch your special. I was there for the actual taping, guys. It is so good. You can watch her special on YouTube. It's called This Happy. Just type in Megan Hanley. It's Hanley, H-A-N-L-E-Y. It's so good. And I think everyone should watch it because it's, you know what? It's a good escape. You're going to laugh. It's nothing too heavy. You're not going to be like, you know, throwing your table over something controversial. It's you'll understand why we're friends, right?
Yeah. No, it is. Thank you so much. Yes, it's a great time. I hope you watch it and leave feeling better.
Yes, and also make sure you give it a thumbs up and a nice comment. All right, Megan, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, bye.
Bye.
So I didn't want to steal her thunder, but I actually performed at a memorial service.
I was thinking the same thing when she was talking about
it. This woman passed away. She was in her mid-20s. She was murdered. And so they were doing a memorial service. And for some reason, the family thought, you know, that we should get a comic. And their theory was that they wanted laughter. But I didn't know this woman personally, you know. So I go to the memorial service. The priest is the host because it's a memorial service. The priest talks. The priest brings up the girl's mother, who was just like 50 years old, and the mom's hysterically crying, sits down, and the priest goes, you know, we'll call this woman Linda. She's like, Linda, so full of light and laughter. So we thought, what better way to celebrate Linda's life than with a comedian? And then he like motions for me to come up. The priest has no clue what my name is. So I come up. Remember, no one knows who I am. And then I was like, hi, everyone. I look out. The mom is sobbing. The grandma's sobbing. Her girlfriends are sobbing. And I just go into my actual act. Because I'm not going to talk about it. I don't want to make fun of her or her family or the situation. That was a doozy. Not bad, though. I got that.
And I was laughing. I didn't cover my head like at the horse show.
No, this one, that's why I don't think of this as a hell
game. It was a good show.
It was a good time.
Good time had by all.
All right, let's call one more comic to get in one more hell story.
Okay.
All right, so this is Leah Bonema. We've known each other for years in the comedy world. She did stand up on Stephen Colbert. She is so funny. She headlines all over the country. All right, security, put her through.
Okay, we have Leah on the phone.
Ben!
Leah! How are you?
I'm good. It's so good to hear your voice.
It's so good to hear your voice. I miss you. Leah used to be a New York comic with me, and then she ditched us for Los Angeles.
I still feel New York.
You still have the attitude. You still have the hatred and attitude of New York.
I'm still stressed out. I'm just driving to Pilates class with a smoothie. That's the only difference.
Okay. She has a smoothie in one hand, a phone in another, a cigarette in another. Okay, Leah, what's your hell stand-up story?
Oh, when you asked me about this, like my heart's been racing just reliving it because I've been pushing it down for so long.
Yeah.
It was in Connecticut, and it was like I took the highway there and then I got off the highway and I went deep into the woods. And it was at this like venue. I go inside and Robin, they had a hole in the middle of it with a tree growing in the middle of the room. They put the stage directly behind the tree. And I go, how people supposed to see me? And they go, oh, you can talk around the side. And I was like,
No.
Yes.
What'd you do?
Well, it gets worse. There were no lights. They go, the sun's up. They go, the sun is setting. So I was closing. So the opener, the sun was out. And then as I performed, the sun went down. And I was just standing in total darkness in front of a tree.
No.
The only one other thing I forgot to mention, which was really the top of the list. The host, this was like during an election cycle. The host, let me turn off my, she's talking to me. It's hilarious. She loves me. I need her, to be honest.
Don't turn her off. You'll end up in another tree.
I will literally end up in Topanga. The host, you've seen her on Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and half the audience stood up and started booing.
Oh my God.
Because it was like, they didn't like. So he didn't deal with it. He brought me up on stage to booze. So it went from booze to darkness to standing in front of a tree. After the show, ran out the back. I got in my car. I drove to the highway. I pulled off at a Carvel.
Oh, my
and
God.
I ordered this huge sundae. And the guy goes, I got to get the booklet out. I've never made this. And I was like, get the book.
Oh my God, Lee, I love you so much. That's hilarious. Okay, and nothing could top the tree. I think that could be one of the worst. I have a question though.
Unbelievable.
That's truly unbelievable. I have a question while I have you though. Today's episode is celebrity crushes. Do you have a celebrity crush or from now or from when you were younger?
Well, when I was younger, I think I had the same crush as everybody else. I was in love with Chewbacca.
I mean, I agree. What's your reasoning?
Well, I love that he was like kind of silent, which is I love in a man, but then super loyal and he's like always ready to fix everything. And I love how he wears the bullets like a necklace. Like it's more like he likes outfits, but they're there in case he needs to make a statement, but he's more like, I like accessorizing.
And he's, and he's hairier than us. So like, I feel like I don't need to shave.
Yes, such a good point. You're like, we can just go all natural.
If you're not shaving, I'm not shaving.
Let's be honest. I'm not shaving anyway, Rob. Yeah,
Well, that's because you've had someone forever. I still am like in the dating game, so I still have to be. Security's in the room. We'll change the topic. All right, Leah, thank you so much for calling in. Guys, everyone, you have to follow Leah on social media. She is, obviously, you could see, hilarious, but just she's just a delight. You can find her at Leah, LeahBonnema. Her name is Leah Bonnema. And also, where can people find your book?
Oh, my book is called, thank you so much for asking, The Holiday Breakdown. I wrote it during the pandemic. It is a romantic comedy, and you can get it on Amazon.
It's a really good book. I actually read it, because remember I had to do a review on it on Katie Couric's, on her thingy. Wait, and there's a line about, wait, you used the line Robin. Guys, I'm in the book.
Yeah, you doing the book. You're one of my girls.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right, Leah, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a treat to get to chat. I miss you.
I miss you too. All right, I'll talk to you later. Okay. She said performed in darkness. I did that.
You've
also
done that too.
Guys, I was auditioning for Comedy Central's 30-minute half hour, and this was at New York Comedy Club. Right before I went on stage, all power went out. The mic, the lights. We waited 20 minutes. It wouldn't go back up. So we had to ask the audience to take out their cell phones and put on their flashlights. And I did it in darkness, the flashlights. And I just screamed for 30 minutes.
But it was a good show.
It was really good.
It was a good show. Yeah. It was memorable. It was fun.
I agree. All right. So now I have the lines open. I told you guys to call in about crushes. You could either tell me about your celebrity crush, or I said if you have any advice you need about your real crush, that I would take those calls too. So security, why don't you put someone through?
Hey, Robin, we have Trisha on the phone.
Hey, Trisha, thanks for calling.
Hello, Robin. How are you?
I'm good. So today's topic is crushes, and we kind of left it open. So tell me what you're calling.
So I am calling because I am a gay girl who, in the past couple of years, started getting this weird celebrity crush. Like, not crush, but, like, obsession with Harry Styles.
Okay, so is this one of your first male crushes?
So, no.
Okay.
First celebrity crush.
Although it's so funny, Harry Styles made the name Harry sexy. Because, like, I agree, Harry Styles is so sexy. But if we removed him from the equation, I never thought Harry was a sexy name. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not a name you yell in bed. Like, oh, Harry, you know? That's like an older man's name. But Harry Styles, like, then you'd be like, oh, Harry. Nope, still can't do it.
Exactly, yeah. You have to go, oh, Harry Styles.
Yeah, you have to say that. You're right. That's it. You're right. Oh, Harry Styles. You have to put the emphasis on the Styles and, like, rush through the Harry.
I was just going to say, I've never crushed on a celebrity before. So this is like, I just fell into a video online and I was like, who is this like intense, calm guy? Like he was silly and I thought that was kind of fun. And then all of a sudden he would dance and it would be like really intense. And I was like, I really enjoy that dynamic of it. And I actually from Ontario flew to Palm Springs to go to two of his concerts and
he's a great performer and he's like sexy and he's nice and he knows how to grab the audience.
Yeah.
No, this is a good
humor. I love his humor.
Yes, he's funny. He does the reading the signs. No, this is a good celebrity crush. I like this one.
Yeah.
I like this one. I still can't yell his name in bed, but you know what? This will be one of those cases. I'll be like, oh, you. Oh, baby. You know?
Very true.
But all right. Thank you so much for calling in.
No problem. Have a good rest of the day. Thanks for this.
All right, bye. Oh my gosh. All right, security. I'm so sorry for you to sit here for that conversation.
While you were just talking, yeah. I zoned out.
I was just going, what
other Harrys do I know? I'm like, this Prince Harry, Dirty Harry. You know, I was just coming up with as many Harrys while you were just talking about
Prince
that.
Prince Harry, he's cute.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's just the name is not.
Oh, Harry!
It's like Ethel. There's like certain names that are more like older.
Yeah, there is no good-looking Ethels.
No, security, everyone's good-looking.
There are nothing but good-looking Ethels out there.
That's it. I'm going to set you up with an Ethel now just to prove you wrong. Okay. And also, if there's any Ethels or Harrys listening, you're hot. Okay. All right, security, put another call through.
All right. We have Melinda on the line.
Hey, Melinda. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Robin.
I'm so happy you called. Okay, so today's topic is crushes. So talk to me.
Okay, so mine's a celebrity crush.
Okay, let's hear.
I've had celebrity crushes since I was a little kid.
Me too.
Professional fangirl.
I've had crushes. Like, since I was born, I've had celebrity crushes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My first one was Elvis, and I said I was going to marry him until my mom told me he was dead. And then I was like, oh.
You're like, that won't stop me. Stop crushing my dreams, Mom.
No. And like every celebrity crush I've had, I've been convinced that we'd end up together or something, but never happened. But anyway, in 2016, I started watching this new show on the Sci-Fi Channel called Wynonna Earp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically like a sci-fi western show. It's very campy. I have this thing where I'm pretty shallow when it comes to television. Like, I won't watch a TV show unless there's a hot dude on it. And so the guy who played him is the actor Tim Rozon. Most people would probably know him as Mutt Shit on Schitt's Creek.
Oh, okay, yes.
He was also Doc Holliday on Wynonna Earp. And he has the most amazing facial hair and had a great mustache. And I just have a thing for mustaches.
Wait, what's his name again? Security's Googling him.
Yeah, Google him as Doc Holliday Wynonna Earp Tim Rozon. Rozon.
Okay. I approve of this crush. Let me say, security.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Well, so,
wait, I'm not kidding. Wait, I'm not kidding. You, I'm assuming you follow me on Instagram. So you know how I dated Bread and Peanut Butter for a little bit?
Yeah.
He kind of looks like him.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Why aren't you
guys,
with him?
But, he ended it. It wasn't up to me.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they get a choice too. Yeah, well, okay.
I know.
For those who are wondering what Bread and Peanut Butter looked like, Google what's his name? Tim Rozon. Ooh, Rozon. Fancy. Yeah.
R-O-Z-O-N. He's a Canadian actor.
Oh, wait, but I'm seeing him without facial hair. Looks nothing like him. But with facial hair, looks like him.
No, no, no. No, put in like Tim Rozon, Doc Holliday. Well, the thing is like I became a fan of him and his mustache. So I thought it would be hilarious to create a Twitter account called DocStash that was going to just be solely dedicated to me being a fan of his mustache and him. And, you know, within the Wynonna Earp fandom, like it was very like a big thing on Twitter, like the people that watched the show. And I somehow ended up with like over 7,000 followers because of this account. Basically, it was just me constantly tweeting like, oh, he's so hot. And like when the episodes would air, we would all live tweet and the cast would join us. And it was really, really fun. And the show's really hilarious. So, but anyway, but he never knew what I looked like, too, which was funny because I just kept it mysterious for no reason.
Would he interact with your account?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God! That makes me love him even more.
Before I sign up to like this guy, I need to know the mustache is real. And yeah. He was like, "You better believe it." So I would do all these photoshops of him, like in different situations, like his character in different movies, like Doc Holliday is Indiana Jones, like movie posters and stuff. I love doing Photoshop, and he loved all of it. And we're only like 6 months apart in age, so we had a lot of things similar, like things we grew up on and stuff. And he became like just as obsessed with this account as I was with him, which like a big dream for a professional fangirl type of thing.
Totally.
And so this was 2016. And then in 2017, he arranged it so that I could have a pass to San Diego Comic-Con because the Wynonna Earp cast does a panel at it. And so I flew out there for that, and then IDW, which was the people that produced the show, they were putting on, like, a fan appreciation party at this club, but, you know, it was, like, tickets, it was, like, invite tickets or something, I don't remember the deal with it, but they comped me a ticket to that, and, like, you know, I live in Iowa, so I go to this thing, and I, like, pull up, and it's, like, total, like, felt like red carpet, you know, with the ropes, and people are waiting, and I see the producer at the front door, and she's, I just go and introduce her because she follows me on Twitter, and she was like, oh, you've got to come right in. So she like opens the rope and I felt so like famous and special.
Right. There's something about that red carpet.
Yeah. And so my plan was to go in there, kind of like, you know, be in the shadows a little bit, see him, get used to the fact that I'm looking at this beautiful man, and then go up. But she was like, I'm taking you to Tim. And I was like, no. I kind of want to, you know, wait out a little bit. And she's like, no, he can't. She grabs me by the hand and she pulls me through there. And I see him and she goes over and talks to him and he comes over. And I was nervous because, you know, obviously I'm self-conscious. Like, God, what if he looks at me and he's like, ew, I don't want to talk to you or something like that. Instead, he drops to his knees in front of me and he's like, do you know how long I have waited to meet you? And then like, scoops me up into this big hug, and he has this beautiful thick hair and reminded me of Jordan Catalano's hair from that show My So-Called Life.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know this is gonna sound creepy, can I please touch your hair? He's like, you can touch my hair as much as you want. And we just like, we hit it off. It was just this amazing experience with him. And then like I got to be his handler at a future Wynonna Earp convention, and it was like a cool friendship. And I'm actually getting ready to go to another Wynonna Earp convention in New York this weekend.
I love this. It makes me like him that much more, how cool he is and how nice he is.
Oh, that's the thing I have to say about him. Tim Rozon is one of the nicest, most down-to-earth actors. Literally, he would give you the shirt off his back. He's so generous. and he does it. He treats you like an equal.
Hot and nice. Hot and nice. That's the combination. Now we got to see if he's single and if he likes short, chubby girls with funny personalities.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's married. He has a kid.
Oh, damn it. See, no one's perfect.
But he still gave me the ultimate fan fantasy.
So. I love it. I love it. And I'm so glad he was nice to you. All right. Thank you for calling in. That was an excellent story.
Thank you, Robin. You too. Oh, and I'm the one who requested the security t-shirts. So I'm still waiting for a security t-shirt with his face on it.
Start the Twitter account. We'll put it on the list. All right. Thanks for calling in. It was so nice talking to you. All right. Bye.
Just my face.
We're not putting your face on
it. Just my face. But on the back would be the back of my bald head.
Just an ass. All right, security, give me another one.
All right, Robin, we have Rochelle on the line.
Hi, Rochelle.
Hi, Robin. Hi, security. I'm so nervous, but so excited to get to talk to you.
No, don't be nervous. It's just us and thousands listening.
I'm sure.
It's just us. Thank you for calling in. So do you have a celebrity crush?
Yes. So, and I'd like to give a little background because it's kind of interesting, but
please,
my celebrity crush is...
Paint me a picture, Rochelle. Let's go.
All right. So this has been my celebrity crush since I was 8 years old, Rob Lowe, and my sister, who's 10 years older. Yes. My sister, who's 10 years older, I'm in my 40s. She's in her 50s. So whenever she was younger, she had all the teen magazines and Tiger Beat, and she loved Rob Lowe. Well, when she went off to college, I took all of her mint condition magazines, cut his picture out of every single one, and just wallpapered my walls with his picture.
Of course she did.
Yeah. And being the awful little sister I was, she was not happy. Fast forward to 2000, I think it was 18, and Rob Lowe went on his one-man tour. My husband surprised me for Christmas and got me 2 tickets, backstage passes to meet him, and my sister and I got to meet our celebrity crush, and it was like the best sister moment ever. He was so nice. He's so tall. And if you think he's hot just on TV and in the movies, he's like 100 times that in person. So,
really?
Oh my gosh,
I started falling for him when he was on what's that show called? Oh, Brothers and Sisters, I think it was called. It was with Sally Fields and Ally McBeal. Remember he was on that show? That was when my crush on him really started. I was like, wow, you are good looking. And he was nice. He was a nice guy.
He was so down to earth and didn't rush us, took time to talk to us. And I think my sister actually even told him the story that I did, just told you about the magazines. And I mean, he laughed and he was just such a good, warm-hearted person and just took time to talk to everyone that he met that night. And it was honestly one of the best days of my life.
Oh, that makes me so, I mean, we've had a few calls and when a celebrity who's good looking and famous is also nice, it makes them that much hotter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So.
I love it. I love it. Well, tell your sister that we're on your behalf. I'm sorry that you ruined her magazines, but I think now all is even.
Yeah. Once I gave her the other ticket, she forgave me. So.
Okay, good. Good.
So we're good.
All right, thank you. So this wasn't that scary calling in, right?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Well, I'm very happy you called in.
Well, thank
you.
And
it was great talking to you. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye. He is what?
And he's funny. He was on Parks and Recreation.
Yeah.
He was so funny.
Yeah, so he's funny, cute, and nice. What an asshole. And rich and successful. Literally hate him. All right. So, guys, thank you so much for calling in. If you want to call in, the phone number is 720-727-6296. And every week, I give the topic on my Instagram and TikTok. So make sure you're following me there at Robin Shaw Comic. And now for my least favorite part of the show, security, let's hear some news stories.
Oh, I'm kidding.
Oh my God, the panic you just had on your face.
I didn't know. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Guys, I just, his face just, I wish we had that record. You got so nervous, like you fucked up. No. There's no news today. Thank God. But guys, I am so excited to be part of the New York Comedy Festival Town Hall. This is such a dream come true. I want you guys there. I want the look out in the audience and know it's all of you guys that have been with me this whole time. So you can get your tickets at Robin Shaw Comic, RobynShall.com. Tickets are on sale now for pre-sale. So just type in the promo code NY Comedy Festival, NYCF. And otherwise, on the 17th, tickets open to the general public. So I hope to see you guys there. And call in next week. And I can't wait to talk. Oh, hold on. We got another call. Call Waiting is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Picot. Editing by Basilio Perez and Jorge Morales Picot. Guest booking by Ali Freelander. Be sure to follow me at Robin Shaw Comic on Instagram and TikTok to find out our next topic and learn when to call each week. And give me a ring at 720-72-ROBIN. That's 720-727-6296.
Betches.